Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 25th, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, the 25th of July 2019. A nation is a group of people united by an instinctive sense of community and striving for connection, as those born from the same parents. Jews have no such feeling. Instead, there is a feeling of brothers in misfortune from the hatred toward them. Striving toward connection vanquishes hatred. There is a blood connection between people, familial, corporeal. And there is a spiritual link between the souls. It is born in the connection between people for the sake of revealing the Creator. When it's broken, people become strangers. They can be united only by the common hatred, anti-Semitism. Abraham revealed the Creator at the age of 40, and called upon all Babylon with it. Hundreds of thousands joined him and were called the House of Abraham. This is the beginning of a nation that knew the Creator. Rambam. Yad Hasaka. Ilkot Avodah Zarah, B1, 7:16. This is how the Jewish nation was formed. All our attempts to change the world for the better, replacing our food, energy, technologies, finances, will fail. The world will continue plunging downwards, until after many failures and much suffering, we will realize that it's not the world around us that we must change, but only our relationships, and we set out to re-educate ourselves. Michael Leitman, on Quora. Can you be anti-Semitic if you don't know what Jews are? Yes. I can be an anti-Semite even if I don't know what a Jew is, because I feel, without any intellectual grasp of what I feel, but I simply feel that my happiness, the world's peace and my advancement in life depend on the Jews. I feel that this small nation of 15 or so million people runs and manipulates the world, squeezing out its juices and energies, preventing human society from enjoying a good life. That is a subconscious sensation of every person in the world. Also, if one doesn't feel that way, then it can awaken very quickly, since it lies latent within every person. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, the 4th of September 2019. Question: why don't we have love? Answer: we have love, but it is only for ourselves. Therefore, we don't have any other love because only one of the two can exist. As it is said, there is no empty place in the heart, either it is filled with myself or it is filled with the Creator. Question: is the activation of the first symptom, restriction, already an act of free choice? Answer: yes. Question: how is it possible in a group to achieve a sensation of the spiritual inanimate level in which you feel that the Creator completely manages everything? Answer: you must always think about it, trying to feel it physically in yourself, and helping each other in this. It requires strong dedication and introspection. Question: why can't we acquire Rabash's unbridled courage in dissemination? Answer: Rabash had a desperate courage. He taught young men who, in their situations, were the complete opposite of Rabash's environment in Beni Brak. It is difficult to imagine what he was compelled to hear and feel. Question: if the friends in a tent cannot participate in daily meetings, is it preferable to participate in such meetings with friends from other tens of the world group, or should I concentrate on work in my ten? Answer: it is possible to integrate with other tens also if you are unable to be with your friends. Question: in the past, you said that it was more difficult for you than it is for us, your students, to advance. Will it be easier for students in another 5 to 10 years to progress than it is for us? Answer: certainly, it will be easier for the next generations to advance than for us. This doesn't mean that it will be more pleasant for them, but it will be easier because there will be a greater recognition of evil. Question: how can I change from thoughts about myself to thoughts about the friends? Answer: I have to constantly think about it, trying to do it all the time, working through my efforts. Question: Is there such a concept as a spiritual conscience? Otherwise, where is the clarification of truth and falsehood implemented? Answer: you can call it a conscience, even though I don't like materialistic definitions that much. Clarification is carried out on yourself when you try to connect with the friends in a neutral situation outside of yourself and outside of them. You search for a state like this together, and within it you implement the clarification. Question: we learn that prayer is given from above. If we try to pray artificially and mechanically, is it possible to call such an activity prayer, or is this preparation for prayer? Answer: this is a true prayer. However, it would be preferable for us to organize it in a group among ourselves. What they give from above is what they are simply teaching us. Suddenly, I yearn to ask the Creator. What this means is that He has given me such a desire Himself. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, April 9, 2019. New Life 425. Security and the Israeli Spirit.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. These are special times for our people, for our country. It seems that the Israeli society is growing up, is undergoing a special state. We'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about this very special feeling that we have at heart. And what do we do from here on? Nitza, please. Yeah, we'd like to talk about the very special feelings that the people of Israel feel due to the Protective Edge operation. And we're a nation that knew many wars and different operations, and we know that every time that there's a war or a certain operation, we unite, we connect. But there was something special about the quantity and quality of connection during this war, which is different from anything that we felt before. It touched everyone, starting with little children and up to grown-ups and the elderly. The children, they drew pictures and they sent it to the soldiers. The soldiers received those pictures. There's this beautiful photo where they taped all the pictures to their tank. People sent personal packages. There's this beautiful story about a 10-year-old girl that sent a package to one of the soldiers, and a few days later she received an SMS message to her phone where the soldier writes that he received her package and it really touched him and he's grateful. There was something very, very special. And people went to visit soldiers and the wounded and supported the families and really did things that were really moving. And we'd like to find out, what is this special feeling that has awakened in us during this war? Among our people, within our people, there's something hidden. And I even saw it in a few movies and books that were written by non-Jews that describe it, that Jews have the certain willingness towards devotion. And we usually see it also in science. It could be devotion to your profession, to something. There is such a thing that a person feels that he's cleaved on to something and this is what he has to do. Even though that such a thing exists in every nation and every person who belongs to a certain nation, a certain tribe and so on, but it exists within the Jewish people and in a very special way that it awakens specifically where there is an opportunity to express the devotion, the connection, the, I'd even say, sacrifice that I don't need anything. I don't need for anyone to know that I did whatever I did. I don't need for anyone to talk about me, that I'm some kind of hero. I don't have to go down in human history. But this devotion, it exists inside a person, and suddenly he feels that this willingness for it is awakening from within him. And this willingness, this tendency comes from our history, where once we were connected, and this was during the times of the First and Second Temple, which symbolize our vessel of connection. And this connection really made a deep and eternal connection in us. And as a result of this connection, to this day, we get some kind of a fulfillment, nourishment, special kind of feeling between me and the rest of the people of Israel. And as much as we usually don't want to be a part of this nation, and I want to run away to some deserted place so no one will know that I'm a Jew, that I'll forget about it altogether, that I'll be like any other person from any other nation in the world. And I heard Jews around the world saying this many times. When I meet Jews, when I'm traveling around the world, when I give a lecture, or I'm at a congress, and they specifically point at this feeling that awakens. How much I'd like to be like my neighbors, and I can't, or something. And can't, it means that a person can't, because our connections are above the connections of this world. It was on the level of the upper world, and therefore a person can't leave Judaism. He can't stop being Jewish, even after a few generations where he no longer knows that he's Jewish. And I met many such people, that this is what they say about themselves. And it was very interesting to see it on many people in Spain and Portugal, that when they were told that I'm Jewish, they say, I'm not Jewish, but there is something about me that says that I am Jewish. So it's from those that went into exile, that in the past, generations ago, had to go into exile and move to that area. But really, it's something that lives inside a person. And I explain it, as usual, according to the system, that this is something that I learned from the inner system of the whole of reality, that if the connection was made on such a high level, on a spiritual level, where all of us were connected as one man, in one heart, in one soul, in one vessel, where all of us were connected by a spiritual gene that comes from the Adam level, from a higher level than the level on which we are today. And we can't cut that connection. It's unchangeable. You can only reconstruct it, restore it. And so it follows that today, when we go back as a result of different problems and troubles, we awaken to perform self-scrutiny. We're returning to that very same state where there's no choice. We're together. And by that, fate, the Creator, awakens us, where it's enough to put some pressure on us on the animate level, where you have the still vegetative animate, on the physical level. Yeah, on the physical level. And immediately we start feeling that between us there is the speaking level, an even higher level, a level on which we were connected, and that we can rise to that level. So I understand that there is a deep inner connection in our heart among all the tribes, even those that are missing. Meaning there are plenty of people around the world today, because the incarnations, They have only to do with the body, not the souls. There are incarnations of souls, but it doesn't stop. It's the same soul. So what I want to say is that we're in the same connection. It's hidden from us, it's internal, but it's an eternal and spiritual connection, very high and exalted. So let's look at what happens with that eternal and deep connection, because I see that deep in the heart, it's there. And every time it comes to life, if I understand, every time there's a blow, it awakens. When we're being pressured on our level, we start feeling, meaning whenever there is a threat, distress, it comes to life. No, not that it comes to life. We become more sensitive towards it. Or we can say that it awakens, but it's we who become more sensitive towards it. Where does this feeling come from? I live my life, I have my family, my work, routine, and suddenly there's pressure in life. So, if it's pressure and problems and troubles or war, so I want to be less connected with this layer of this life. As if I want to distance from it, I want to rise above it, from the problems, the troubles, and so on. And this helps me to feel the level of this life less, and to be more sensitive towards a higher level of life, where once we're all connected in one soul. In the past, we were as one man and one heart. We were as one people in this regard. One people meaning one soul, same desire, same goal. What do we exist for? What is the meaning of life? And mutuality, and mutual guarantee, as one man and one heart, don't do to others what you hate, love another as thyself, all of Israel are friends, unity, connection, meaning we experienced all these things, not for long. Also here we underwent different changes, but it happened, it registered, and therefore in our root we belong to that level. And therefore once I feel bad on the corporeal level, immediately I become more sensitive to the spiritual level, and then it awakens. It's always there, but it immediately awakens in my feelings, and I feel it. And therefore, the connection with the soldiers and the mutual help, it's not only a friend for times of trouble, that we're connected because we're in trouble, which is something that also happens on the corporeal, animate level among animals, where they flee a forest that's on fire. But it's something higher. It comes from our spiritual root, where it was already determined that we all belong to one root. And this is a connection that does not exist in this world, meaning that we feel each other so much that we can't differentiate this mutual connection, this mutual heart, in which we're all as one man and one heart. And therefore, what we can do is that the process that we have to go through is to return to that state of being as one man and one heart, for it not to happen as a result of the Egyptian blows, as it happened back then, that they brought us closer to become as one man and one heart, as it says that Pharaoh brought the people of Israel closer to their Father in the heavens, but for us to do it ourselves, that we don't need a war for it, or a new Pharaoh like Hamas, or other enemies that pop up from all over, but that we ourselves will develop the importance for that state in which all of us were all united once in the past, and for us to want to reach that state in a good way and not in a bad way. So that we'll start talking about it, that we'll start developing it, that we'll start publicizing it to each other, talking about it. And for this state to be a preferable state for us. And then we'll need no foreign evil factor to advance us towards the good, but that we'll do it ourselves. Why not? Okay, so to conclude what I understand that among our people there is a special connection that exists deep in our consciousness, and there are two levels of consciousness. The ordinary day-to-day level, where we're all engaged in our day-to-day mundane life, work, family, things, and there is a higher level of consciousness, and it exists all the time, only when we're engaged in our day-to-day life, we're not in it, and when there's some kind of threat or pressure, we rise to a higher level of consciousness, our sensitivity towards it opens up, and suddenly we feel the connection that was always there, it was always hidden there. Right, only we don't feel it in our day-to-day life. So we can also awaken it in our day-to-day life, and then our day-to-day life will be more spiritual, for a higher purpose. We'll be able to use everything in our day-to-day life in order to awaken and renew this connection more and more. Now, there are different intensities. What do I mean? Because also in previous wars, and the people of Israel knew many wars, there was always this moment of ascent. But this time, the ascent was something very special, very strong, very broad. What is this leap in our ability to feel? Maybe our emotions extended. What happened? Along with all of humanity, we're advancing towards a state that's called, let's say, the global integral world system, where everyone, including everyone, have to be interconnected in harmony, in a single mutual system, because that's how nature is, and the upper force of nature, which is one, unique and unified, none else besides Him. And we have to be in a system which befits this, which is similar to it. And to the extent to which we come out of the framework of unity, connection, mutuality, reciprocity, we undergo more and more blows, and we have to see these blows as something that gives us the right direction, that reminds us about the reason, about the goal, to teach us that connection is good, and that disconnection and alienation is something bad, and that it's good for us to come closer to each other emotionally. So much that will connect to this one system willingly, even not because of the blows or the pressure, but because we want to be connected, because bestowal is something good, because mutual connection is something good, because love another as thyself. It's not just a law that obligates me. It's not some kind of a foreign rule that pressures me, and I'm ready, because I have no other choice, to keep it. And then, because there is no other choice, what happened previously? By coercion? Now I do it willingly. No. First of all, we have to reach a state where we think about it, and we understand that it's something much more exalted than our nature, to be in reciprocity, mutuality, mutual help, connection, as opposed as it is to my own nature. This oppositeness is also developing in order for me to scrutinize what's more important, what's more exalted, what's more humane. Let's put it that way. And that I'll prefer bestowal to reception, love to hatred, connection to separation. And this is what a person has to reach. And the quicker we find this direction in nature, and therefore we're undergoing the global crisis now in order to show us that we're not in harmony with each other. And how much people are responsible for this harmony, actually. There are even such theories, and it's not just theories. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's obvious that this is how it is, but there are even such theories among astrophysicists that study the universe. They say that human thoughts cause different explosions among the stars and so on. Meaning, and they feel it from their research. They develop a certain sense towards what's going on in space. And it's really so. It's really so. We have to understand that man is the cradle of creation, and that by his force, he can cause connection on all levels, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, or, God forbid, the other way around. And if the entire direction of nature is to bring all of its dwindled parts back to connection, then it's good for us to think about it and to be in the same direction. And therefore, were we a bit more attentive towards this direction of connection, to awaken those rishimot, the impressions instilled in us from those times, then we would have gotten rid of all of these blows and problems and troubles, and we wouldn't need them in order to advance towards connection, because they have only one purpose, to awaken us towards that root in which we were all connected together, and for us to realize it, keep it. Your explanation really impressed me, what you just explained about these two levels of consciousness, and I'd like to look at our people, to even divide our people into age segments, because what I saw is that, suppose, my daughter, she's 23 years old, and I looked at her generation, and I see that something very special happened to them, to their generation, as if suddenly they have a different kind of understanding, a tremendous desire that they didn't have previously. Looking 2 months back, unity, connection, it was something that they weren't thinking about in any way, but suddenly something that has to do with recent events that caused them to taste the connection. And I really feel like a mother that feels that her child went through something and it changed. Suddenly I feel that this generation, they got this feeling of something new. So if we look at the younger generation, which is actually the generation that's fighting, the soldiers, and if not them, then their friends, and even if they're a year or two older, then they remember how it is because they were recently there. And I saw my daughter's friends. She has a friend who was constantly waiting to be recruited. He's waiting to be recruited. He says, I want to be there. I want to contribute what I can. Because if you don't, you feel that you're like missing out on something. Yeah, that's interesting. I also felt that this time. That personally, people feel that they're not getting what they deserve. It's not that the soldier goes to the front line in order to give, but he feels that by that, he receives that something new. Something new which wasn't apparent on previous wars and operations. I don't know if I'll be able to express it, but this has to do with the next human level, where a person starts feeling that by giving, they're actually receiving. It's very interesting. Because all in all, a person who's giving, a soldier who's on the front line, and he gets a rifle and he's given orders, and he's as if contributing, he's as if giving. But here, that soldier starts feeling that he's receiving, because he gets this feeling that he's a part of a nation, a part of the realization of a certain action that unites everyone. He gets the force of unity from there. And if he's not there, he's as if not getting it. He's as if empty. It's something that he's lacking. And therefore, he yearns to be inside there with everyone. Not physically with everyone, but emotionally wise. Because then he feels the fulfillment. He feels that this is the only place that can fulfill him. And this time, it was more evident. And let's hope that it'll be enough for us to advance towards it without all of these operations. Because it's really true. Whoever gives and contributes, he is the one who receives. From a different angle, a friend of mine told me that this one morning got up late. And he missed the breakfast that was served to the soldiers. And he went to this small restaurant to buy food, and the restaurant owner tells him, "You missed breakfast in your unit?" He says, "Yes." He's asking, "How many are you?" He says, "We're 70. He says, "Can you wait a bit?" He says, "Yeah, sure, why?" He says, "I want to prepare 70 portions. It'll take me a few minutes. You wait here, eat, and I'll arrange it in the meantime, and you take it with you to all your friends." Another picture that I want to tell you about is Friday afternoon. It was a Friday on which we don't know what's going on with one of the kidnapped children that the Hamas kidnapped, that we don't know what's going on with those children. It was a few hours before the Shabbat, Friday evening, and I had some gut left at home. And the entire country was in turmoil. There was this special feeling in the air because we didn't know what's going on with our kidnapped brother. And I go into this shop Friday afternoon, you know, almost everything's closed. But I wanted to buy cigarettes. So I go into this kiosk, and in the background we hear the news. I was there maybe for 20 seconds. I ask, he gives, and in the background the news, and I don't even know how it came out of the heart, and I said, "May we be together." And the guy at the counter, he's 20-something, and he tells me, "Amen." I went into the car, and I'm telling myself, what happened? Usually when I go into a kiosk, I always think that they charge me more than I should have paid. This is what I think about usually. I went into the car, and we had a maybe 20-second connection, and I felt overwhelming emotions towards that young man. We exchanged three words, and I felt as if, I don't know, we're completely connected, and he felt that too. So I'm trying to understand what's going on here. What happened to us as a people during these days? It's like magic in the air. If you're asking me, I can't explain it, but only from the point of view that I understand. There is the force of unity, the upper force that awakens. We are in a process that all the Kabbalists call the end of correction, the last generation. The complete redemption. That the upper light is nearing us and is awakening us to be connected with it. If we're opposed to each other, then we accept its nearing as something negative. If we're in some kind of connection or an inclination towards connection, we accept that nearing, the nearing of the light, as something positive. In order to bring us closer to it, that it's coming closer, and for us to get closer between us correspondingly, because in order to achieve a connection, we have to be in some kind of equivalence of form, to be like it. So that's caused by different events. It could be good events, some national celebration, a special occasion. And God forbid, it could be things like are happening today, bad things, but still, both the good events and the bad events, they have just one goal, to cause a connection between us, where then the upper force, the general force of reality that encompasses it in one ball, in one sphere, will be able to become revealed. And therefore, the excitement, it comes from both directions. On the one hand, through problems, troubles, this makes you more sensitive. On the other hand, this emotion is now starting to turn into some kind of unity in the air. It's merely that force that's becoming closer to us. And then you and that guy at the counter and everyone start feeling that there is a special atmosphere and that there's also a special fulfillment in all of us. Now, the question is, how can we develop this feeling ourselves so much that all the wars, the operations, all these things will vanish? There will be no need for them. No need for it. It's not that we have to be tightly connected by external pressure. It's not that we have to thank the Hamas, but that we ourselves have to be connected this way ourselves, and then we won't need that pressuring, necessitating external force that forces us to be united and connected. I see it as one system that's working, as it says that Pharaoh brought the people of Israel closer to their Father in the heavens. Pharaoh, one negative force, and we're approaching a state where we will see that the entire world being as one negative force that's pressuring us from all sides, everywhere, in all shapes and forms, in order for us to want to unite. What does it mean to come closer to our Father in the heavens? It means to be in one force, in one desire. What is it all about? To be as one man, in one heart, that's it. And to keep love another as thyself. That's it. So, do we need this Pharaoh for it? The entire world is called Pharaoh, and there's anti-Semitism in all countries, and no one wants to help you. I just came back from a tour in South America, North America, Europe. I never experienced such states before, that the world hates Jews so much, that everyone agrees that this nation is the source of all troubles, that there's no place for them in the world, that they cause harm to everyone. This is what they think. And you really see it, you feel it. I was in the U.S., where this rabbi was killed in Miami. Someone simply came up and killed him. You think anyone was impressed by it? Nothing. Something ordinary. It's as if, yeah, people agree with with this act, with that person who did it. They agree? If you watch the news, on the news you see the Israelis are killing children in Gaza. When a missile is falling in our direction, no one mentions that. The only thing that the news talks about is summary, news summary. How many houses did we destroy? How many people did we kill in Gaza? What's going on here with the Jewish people? No one's talking about it. Either it's they're getting what they deserve, or nothing's happening at all. No Hamas, no missiles, no 1,000 missiles that they sent, that they launched. Nothing. It's a wonder. It's a wonder how everything's filtered. And it's not deliberately, it's not that someone's thinking that he's evil and I'll filter the news this way. No. It's everywhere that way. Because this is how the world sees it. I feel the world. This is how it sees the whole matter. That something simple is going on here. The people of Israel, instead of being the good, positive force that is arranging the world, that is uniting the world, that is leading the world towards connection and harmony with all the parts of nature, instead of that, they are the only central cause of evil in the world. This is a deep feeling that every person in the world is experiencing, and you can't get rid of it. There is no one to argue with, because they feel it as something natural. What's the connection between this feeling that the whole world hates us and the eternal connection between us? The eternal connection between us was made once when we came out of Egypt. Meaning that once everyone hated us. We were stuck in a state that helped us. This pressure had helped us. The blows helped us unite. To become connected, to agree, to become as one man and one heart, to agree with it. And we came to that. We've reached that root, that force, that intensity of being as one man and one heart. And by that, we have attained the recognition of the spiritual force, meaning the central force that exists in nature. You can call it God, Elohim, which in Gematria equals nature. The force of unity, we discovered it. We were there. And afterwards, as a result of different occurrences, we lost that force of unity and we came down to a state which is called exile. Exile from that unity that we were in. And for the past 2,000 years, we're in exile from that unity. And now the time has come. According to the entire process that nature is going through, that our reality is going through, we've reached a state where once again we have to return, we and all of reality, meaning all the people in the world, not only the people of Israel, have to go back to that unity. So we're being awakened. They're being awakened, the entire world. You can't believe. Such people that never saw or heard a Jew in their life, in some Oceania, in some place in South America, they also feel themselves as a part of this process. All of them have something against the people of Israel. So it's the opposite to unity. No, but they feel hate against us because we're not in unity. We caused them, we caused those nations to feel bad. Can you explain? If the entire world, all of nature, has to now reach balance, still vegetative, animate, and people included. Earth has to reach balance. So the still vegetative and animate in nature, they are balanced. They're in harmony. They're mutually supporting one another. Only human beings, because of their ego, they're disbalanced, not wanting to be connected, not wanting to cooperate with the whole of nature. And also, man doesn't have that feeling. He doesn't feel as a part of nature. Because of his ego, he feels that he belongs only to himself. In the past, the people of Israel, we acknowledged the force of connection. We used it, the force of unity in nature. We were connected. We were united with the still vegetative and the animate. We were united with the upper nature, with the upper force of nature that's controlling everything, which is called nature or God. Now we're in a world where that godly force is once again nearing. It's like we're talking about the sun and all the forces of the universe. This force is nearing, and its influence over Earth, over us, over human society, its influence is that we all feel that we're interdependent. And in this interdependence, in this process, you know, it's like any other natural process that goes up, comes down, and up, and down. In this process in which we're in, the force of unity is on the rise. It's approaching us once again. It's like processes that occur on the sun. It's like the magnetic processes on Earth. It's a process. The force of unity, it's a force, and it's undergoing a certain process. And it's influencing our planet now, and it's making it so that we have to become united, all of us, for the entire system to become integral, where all of its parts are interconnected. And also, that system, it has to be global, meaning all around the world. We're now compelled to this. Now, what happens is that from the entire population of the world, only the people of Israel used to be in a state where they were all united, and they reached balance with nature, with the still vegetative and animate, and with this general upper force. And the rest of the world wasn't. It happened 2,000 years ago. Well, the people of Israel built the first and second temples as they lived in the land of Israel in a way that they were called the people of Israel, meaning that they were completely directed Israel, from the words Yashar Kel, meaning that they were completely directed towards balance and connection and brotherly love, love of others. Today, you have the entire world that are suffering as a result of the external pressure that this force is approaching. And we're in a state where we don't want this nearing. The people of Israel, we don't want it. We're in destruction and exile from that force of connection, from our connection. And the rest of humanity feels that instead of us conveying this upper force to them, the method of connection, to be light to the nations, to teach them how to be united and connected, we're not realizing our role to be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests, as it says. And it doesn't matter the way it's written. But they have to be the teachers of humanity. They're expecting it subconsciously. Look what they're saying. We hate you because you're not giving us good things. You cause bad things to happen to us. And that every nation, every person in the world, all together say that we cause evil. What are they saying? They say that we can also be the cause of good, but we're not doing it. Meaning they feel that they're dependent on us. Just imagine the situation where you to feel that you depend on some person, your neighbor. You have a neighbor and he has information about you, he has what to say about you, he has what to snitch on you, he has what to tell your family and your relatives about you, about your entire life, everything, every bad thing that you did in your past, and you did many bad things. And he has that in his hands, and he releases it a bit here, a bit there, and he does it in a very sophisticated way, like a criminal, like a very smart and bad person. And he doesn't let you go. He's doing it to you daily. So tell me, would you feel that you're living your life, or that this life is worse than death? I'd like for him to die. That goes without saying. But life altogether, it's an ongoing suffering, ongoing, terrible, renewing itself every moment. You don't know what to expect. This is what they feel. And from day to day, this feeling is growing. What exactly causes this feeling towards Israel? Who causes it? No, what exactly causes such a feeling? The world to feel this towards Israel. What are Israel doing? I understand that it's something that Israel are doing. Yes. What exactly are we doing that awakens this kind of hate in the world? We're not united? Not united. Not united. We have to be as one. And then through us, that force, that one force of nature will influence us and the entire world, and the whole world will fall into place in a good and nice way. We are the cause of evil. We are separated, and then that upper force, the good force, can't spread in the world. We're not teaching the world how to be connected between them, between whom and whom. Between them, to have a good connection among them, the entire world has to be arranged according to the global system. People, they have to be nicely interconnected with each other. They have to be as one body. Also, as one man and one heart, we have to set this example for them. Look how we're arranged. And let's help you now get organized in the same way. So, if I understand what you're saying, what we felt during the last war, the connection, the unity, the warmth, this feeling that I feel towards a person that I don't know at all, that I feel that he's very close, it's a taste of the perfect connection that has to exist between people altogether. Yes. Among everyone. In the world, in general. Yes. So, this connection, like we said at the beginning of our discussion, these two levels of consciousness, where each is in his own niche, where we're connected either as one man and one heart, connected to that place of feeling connected to someone that I don't know at all, as if he's my brother, as you called it, brotherly love. This is something that all of humanity has to reach. Yes. And the ones who have to give the example for these relations, and also the strength for it, the vigor to arrange it all, that's us, the people of Israel. And this is what they're telling you. Only they're telling it in a different way. Because they never saw anything good from you. So they don't tell you, give us something good, but they tell you, you're the source of evil. Okay, what happened here during the war, the connection that we felt among the people of Israel, that undoubtedly for years and years we didn't feel this way. How did that influence the world? It did not yet influence the world. Why? Because you did not reach a true connection yet. What do you mean? It's still a feeling that You have to really connect. You have to become as one man and one heart. You have to set such processes that will build the nation as a single unit. And you also have to explain to all the nations of the world that now you're going to build an example for them, because the entire process that you have to undergo to become as one people, it's for them. This is for them. That's called to be light to the nations, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation and so on. It's for them. Because without them, nature, the whole of reality, will not be as one integral system. You were already there. Now you have an additional task to be connected in order, and this is very important, not to simply be connected like you used to be in the past, but to be connected in order to bring a correction to the entire world. That's why it's called complete redemption, the last generation. And the essence of this correction is what? For all of humanity to become connected like the people of Israel were connected once. And it's not exactly going back to that. You're not going back to being connected on your own. But now you're returning to be connected in order to connect others. To begin with, it's a different task, a different level, a different direction, a different goal. And therefore, you have to publicize the knowledge about it both to the people of Israel and also to the entire world. This is what we're going to do now. We're going to become united in order to unite the entire nation and also the entire world. And this is how it has to be to begin with, because the final action is in the preliminary thought. And therefore, you have to publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything that it says about the correction of the world and what the people of Israel have to do. And you'll see how people will accept it. If you don't, imagine the entire world will connect to Gaza, as if the entire world will gather in Gaza against us. Yes, in heart and soul, truly so. Warships are going to come there and whatnot. What are you going to do? This is what's going to happen. Unless we transfer these wars between good and evil for them to be inside ourselves, for us to undergo them internally. What do you mean? Unless we transfer these wars to be inside us, between our evil, between our resistance against connection. The prophets, they wrote about it elaborately. That's called the War of Armageddon, where the entire world connects with your enemy, suppose Hamas in this case. And actually, it's not the Hamas who's the enemy. It's you who's positioning them this way by your separation. By our separation, we are forming the Hamas to be the way they are. Unite and see how they fall. They have no other role but to bring you to connection, cause you to connect. So all the problems, the wars, everything that's going on, it has a very specific goal, just one goal. One, to make us feel the force of unity and to rise to the level of a united consciousness. And suppose if now I look at us as a nation, the things are starting to calm down a bit, even though that we know that the threat wasn't really removed and that things are still going on beneath the surface, but it's enough that things are a bit more quiet, we immediately fall from our unity to a state of separation. Now see who among the people of Israel is responsible for the state not to deteriorate, those that have this entire method in their hands. Those people who study the wisdom of Kabbalah. And they know the source of the entire plan, and the process and the forces and the correction. They are the ones that are responsible. Truly, they are the ones who are responsible for what's going on. What's the connection between the wisdom of Kabbalah and us uniting as one man and one heart? It is the wisdom, it is the method, it is the science that speaks about the realization, how to realize the connection, the unity. And inside that unity, we start feeling the true forces that operate in creation, in nature, in reality, that are all leading us to one force called God, Bore, Creator, that we discover, and that's why it's called Bore, Creator, in Hebrew, from the words Bore, come and see. So the wisdom of Kabbalah, it simply explains what we feel. I mean, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it includes everything there is in reality altogether. It explains how do we exist, in what way, what process are we undergoing in order to eventually come from the beginning to the end of creation in a short and good way? And it explains the goal, the purpose, which is to reach the one force. So it gives us the knowledge, the understanding that we have to unite, or it also gives us the strength, the force to connect. The force, the everything, of course, because the knowledge is the force itself. Then I know how to do it and how to use the forces of nature. All in all, we exist within nature. Elohim, God, in Gematria equals nature. And we use all of these forces. It is a force that teaches us how to get out of the blows, how to approach the good, how do we realize what we're obliged to realize in creation. And how do we reach the purpose of creation in a short and quick way, quick and good way. So if I understand what you're saying, the wisdom of Kabbalah explains the process, everything, and also how to realize it. It includes everything. Because if it explains how the entire system of reality is built and the forces that are operating in it, what else do you have then? So according to what it says in the wisdom of Kabbalah now, the world will really send warships to Gaza against us unless we do what we have to do, for sure. For sure. So don't be the entire world. It's enough that it will be the Turks, that the same thing will happen over like it was with those ships. And the whole world will support them. Of course, I saw on the news, on the world news during these days, that they're all supporting Gaza, that they're never talking from the Israeli perspective, that something's falling here and kills someone. It doesn't interest them. It's not that they're not telling about it on purpose. They simply don't feel it. They're not taking it into account. Now, previously you said, they're simply saying, there, 1,500 people were killed, and here, only 100. What's going on? You understand the calculations they're making? Previously you said a war between the good and evil, that that's what the war is about, not Hamas or whatever, but there is a war between good and evil. Of course, the hearts of kings and ministers are in the hands of the Creator, as it says. What is the Hamas? Hamas is a force in the hands of the upper force, carrying out a certain action. So what's the war between the good and evil? It's the war of Armageddon. What is it? When will it happen? It's going on. Already? Yes. Where? Between whom and whom? Between Israel and Israel. What do you mean? Between the corporeal and spiritual Israel. It's our inner war against our ego. Do we really want to rise above it, control it, or will it control us? It's a war between the force of good and the force of evil. In the entire world, there's just one force called the will to enjoy. the desire to enjoy in all of nature. Within the people of Israel, besides the desire to enjoy, the so-called desire to receive, there's also a desire to bestow, to give. And this is what differs the people of Israel from the rest of the world. The power, the force of giving that exists in them. Do they or don't they use this force? If they use both forces in a balanced way, both the force of reception and also the force of giving, then they're in peace, they're in perfection and completion. If the force of reception is greater than the force of giving, then they deteriorate from that degree. That's what it's all about. Now, the world is drawn to balance. We have to reach a state where we bring the positive force of giving to the entire world. That's called to be light to the nations, to teach the entire world what bestowal is, what love of others is. And I hope that finally we will come to that, for us to understand what our destiny is and that all the problems are all in all in order to bring us to unity and for us to set an example of unity for the entire world. This is what they're expecting of us. And the moment that you tell everyone that we're going for it, that we really want it, look how the nations will understand you. Suddenly they'll say, oh, this is really what we need from them, an example of how to build a well-organized, nicely connected world in love of friends, all of us, and all shall be as one fraternity. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Unfortunately, our time's up. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.